up to the luncheon portion, the awards portion. I'm Tom Gresham. I'm the host of Gun Talk Radio. And well, thank you. We've got a couple of TV shows that I think you might enjoy, Gun Talk Television and Guns and Gear. But there's a new one you may not have heard about. I just want to direct you to it. You might scribble this down. It's free. It's online. It's on YouTube. It's called First Person Defender. You just go to YouTube and check out First Person Defender. It is, I think, the most exciting thing we've done in video and probably the most exciting thing in self-defense I've seen out there. It's insanely expensive to produce. But that's how you make good TV. So anyway, have fun with that. First Person Defender. Let me introduce the head table first of all. Out on the end here, we have David Stroud. Next to him, General Alan Youngman. Obviously, you know, Alan Gottlieb. Starting on the far end there, Andrew Sipien. We have John Fund. Let's see, Dave Koppel. Obviously, Masada Yube and Joe Tartaro, head table. I got to tell you, it is so much fun coming to GPRC. I think I'm a rabid gun rights person until I get here. You guys actually embarrass me. You are so good. And the other thing I really love, God, I love Texas. Man, you guys do it right. All right, I got a few things to say, and then we're going to do some awards and all. Try to take kind of an overview. I got a few things to touch on here. Hope you can hang with me. I titled this Taking the Long View. And every one of you made a real effort to be here. Every one of you decided that you would be here. Each one of us, all of us, every single one here got to some point somewhere along the line, and it was, for some it was a long time ago, some it was recent, but all of us got to a point where we said, that's it. I'm done. I cannot take this anymore. I am going to get in, and I'm all in. And every one of you is all in, and I thank you for that. You guys know the story, the difference between the pig and the chicken for the breakfast meal. You know, the chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. So that's you guys. You're committed. You are all in. All right. Now, as I say, some of you are new. Some of us gray-haired or no-haired people were around when they were debating the Dodd bill. And for you younger people, that's what you know as the Gun Control Act of 1968. One of the things we've learned throughout is it's important to know what you can do and what you can't do. A couple of nights ago, it's a good example of that, just down on the interstate right out here, one of the DPS officers pulls a guy over at night. He's going a little fast. Pulls him over, gets him out of the car. Where are you going? Well, I'm going over here to entertain some kids. What do you mean? He says, well, I'm a magician. The officer says, really? Well, I've always had an interest in magic. He says, can you juggle? He goes, well, yeah, I can juggle. He says, well, I'll tell you what. If you juggle for me, I'll let you out of this ticket. Magician says, man, he says, I sent all my stuff ahead. I don't have anything with me. The officer says, well, I got some road flares. Can you do that? He says, absolutely, I can do that. So he gets them out. Magician's over there juggling. Officer says, could you do them if we lit them? He says, yeah, we can do that. So they're on the side of the road, right? You got the police car, the lights going. He's pulled his car over. You got this guy out here. He is juggling flaming sticks, man. He's going like crazy. And there's this other car. Starts coming along. And it starts slowing down as it gets closer. He pulls in right behind the officer's car. This guy gets out of his car, and he walks over to the cruiser and opens the back door and gets in and closes the door. Officer walks over and says, sir, are you okay? What are you doing? He says, officer, there's no way I could pass that sobriety test. You got to know what you can do and what you can't do. All right, I want to touch on three things. One, take the long view. Two, recognizing a win. And three, target identification. All right, take the long view. Everybody wants the quick win. Everybody wants instant gratification. I mean, that's where we are, right? Okay, that makes some sense. We actually would, what we'd really like to do, honestly, the truth be known, we would all like to simply win this so there is no more gun rights fight. So we can spend more time shooting or more time at the range or less time having our friends stare at us blankly as we go on another rant. And, you know, sometimes we get big wins. Sometimes we win big. Heller was big. But you know what Heller wasn't? Heller wasn't quick. It took a while. There's a guy, there were probably more than one, but there's one guy that I'm aware of who saw Heller more than 2 decades before it got there. And he said, you know, we can't get there until we change the landscape. We have to plow the field. We have to get the dirt ready. We have to change the world of academic scholarship on the Second Amendment. So he started more than 20 years ago. He started putting out books like this and sponsoring academic research. And it's my personal hero, this man right here, Alan Gottlieb. Now that's vision. That's the long view. That's understanding that we're in this for a long, long time. Beware of the quick fix. Remember that the enemy of good sometimes is an attempt at perfect. Sometimes when you've got a good win, and we've seen it before, we can screw it up by trying to get the perfect win. Take the good one, then fall back and come back and get the rest of it later. Sometimes you go for everything. You go for that interception, you miss it, the receiver gets the ball and goes for the touchdown. We're in this for the long haul. It's going to take, well, Frank, it's going to take forever. You really want to know the truth? That's the bottom line. You don't win this thing, all right? And we'll return back to that one. There are some incredibly smart people in this room, and they've been charting a course for a long time. Talked about Alan. Alan Gura. They have charted a course, and there are waypoints along the course. The waypoints are known as Heller, McDonald, Ezel, and a lot of others. But none of them is the final win. Now, obviously, you got to deal with what's in front of you. You got to deal with the attack. When they're coming over the wall, you got to stop them. When they're trying to pass a law, you got to stop them. Okay, got it. But while you're doing that, whatever's going on in your city, your state, and nationally, you also have to have the long-term plan. And you're always working on that. Wins breed wins. A succession of wins makes it easier to get more wins. When the politicians, trust me, there is not an elected politician in this country at any level that does not know what just happened in Colorado. In Colorado, we had the recall that was heard around the world. All right. So let's talk about recognizing a win. What does a win look like? How about a loss? Well, some are easy. Gun Control Act of 68, 1994 crime bill, and the Clinton gun ban. Yeah, we can recognize those as losses. Yeah. Heller, McDonald. Yeah, we know those as wins. We really do have a lot of wins under our belt. We've heard a lot today. I mean, it's going quite well at the same time that we're facing some incredible challenges. Sometimes we win by just beating back a city ordinance. Sometimes we bring licensed carry to a state where many of us thought it would never be possible. Can anybody say Illinois? Yeah. Sometimes a few people can start a grassroots movement and they can beat a billionaire megalomaniac in a recall election. Outstanding. Yeah, we can see those wins, but you know, sometimes the losses are harder to see. And that's one of the things that I talk about. I'm a media guy, okay? I'm all about public opinion. And the things I worry about is that we can win a lot of battles and lose public opinion. And let me just make this really, really clear. I'll be blunt. You can win everything else, and if you lose public opinion, you lose everything. Public opinion can take away every win. Public opinion can take away every right, including the Second Amendment, if there's enough public opinion against it. We lose public opinion battles at great risk. And I'm afraid that some of our guys don't get it, don't understand the battle for public opinion. There are these things that happen. PayPal says you can't use it to buy guns. eBay blocks guns. Banks won't make loans to gun companies. What do you think the public sees when they see that? They see companies that they know, major companies, companies they do business with, companies they respect, saying, you know, we, our company, we won't do business with those kind of people. You know, people like us. That's what they're saying. We won't associate with those kind of people. That is a major PR loss. Major public opinion loss. When retail chains and hotel chains, retail outlets or hotel chains put up no gun signs, that's a loss. Yeah, we fight it and sometimes we get it turned around, but it's a loss. And the thing is, that image of that loss of that major corporation, whoever it is, that goes into every soccer game's grandstand where people are talking, goes into every PTA meeting, goes into every coffee clutch, and it goes on to millions of Facebook posts. What's a win look like? Little wins, great wins, PR wins. A win is a newspaper story talking about your local gun club that had a big fundraiser shoot to raise money for breast cancer. A win is when you do something and you help a local kid raise money for medical treatment. I like the old-fashioned definition of public relations: doing good and getting credit for it. Notice the first thing is doing good. We do that pretty well, generally speaking. We're not so good at getting credit for it sometimes. We're not maybe the best communicators. Why? Who is it that people like? Who is it that people want to identify with? Well, they want to identify with people they like, people who are like them, people they know, people who do good things. You cannot force people to be on your side. Let me repeat that. You cannot force people to be on your side. You can persuade them, but you don't indoctrinate them. You don't frighten them. You show them that you are one of them. And when they look out and see you and they are scared of you and what you are doing, and you know what I'm talking about, they do not feel that you are one of them. They feel that you are those people. And you lose a PR battle. And you lose a battle of people who have votes and who will vote. All right, Starbucks story. Probably several hundred people in here, we got several hundred opinions of what happened and what it means and what you're going to do about it, and I don't care. I don't care. I say I have one question to ask you. On the PR standpoint, do you think that was a win for us or a loss for us? It was a monster loss. It was a big L in that column. And that did not have to be. By the way, before I go any further on this, I got to give out a big shout out. Where's Alan Corwin?
Right here.
All right. I'm going to give a shout out to Alan Corwin. In the battle for public opinion, this man has a special place because he has taught all of us how to use our weapons. And our weapons are words. And the words you choose make a difference. Trust me, the other side is very good about choosing words. Saturday night special, junk gun, assault weapon, pick whatever you want. Cop killer bullets. Thank you. Now, how stupid are we if we repeat their words? Because every time we use their words, we're making their point for them. If you're not familiar with what Alan Corwin's been doing, please go to his website. Gunlaws.com. Look at his glossary, politically corrected glossary. It is fabulous. One thing, just an example, I'll throw this out. A few years ago, I just learned about this yesterday. There was an effort in Missouri, and there was some polls being done about concealed carry. And the term concealed carry polled very, very badly. People did not like that. But the term licensed carry polled very well. Concealed means we're hiding something. Ooh, scary. Licensed means, oh, it's okay. Or could I just ask you to simply say we have carry laws instead of concealed carry laws? Itty bitty change. Little bitty change.
Ignore me.
I've been ignoring you for a long time,
Thank
Charles.
You.
If you can just be aware of how your words are being received, that's huge. If you want to use words that work, take a look at what Alan has been doing. Think about it. Think about it when you're talking to each other, because whatever words you say when you're talking to each other, you're going to go to that automatically when you speak out there. Don't use their words, because every time you do, you help them. Now, what's the fourth rule of gun safety? Be sure of your target and what's behind it. Target identification. Yeah, buddy. Why do we keep targeting our friends? People in groups who would support us. Are we so assured of a win that we don't need the help of other groups? Well, I gotta tell you, I'm not that assured. Some, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, I was at GPRC, and I made a bunch of people mad. I said, would you please stop talking about those danged liberals, those Democrats, those gays, this group, that group? All right, here's a reality check for you. In this room, there are gun rights advocates who are liberals. In this room, there are gun rights advocates who are Democrats. In this room, there are gun rights advocates who are gay. And in this room, there are gun rights advocates who are card-carrying members of the ACLU. We need all those people. We need that help. But there are a lot of other people who fall in those groups who don't feel welcome here because we ostracize them. We talk bad about them because of their beliefs, their associations, their memberships. That does not seem smart to me, to say, I don't want your help. I'm just going to tell you, I think it's foolish. And I will tell you this, what I'm about winning. And I will work with anybody. I'll work with a one-horned, spotted purple people eater if that's what it takes to win on gun rights. I'll work with anybody. And anybody that wants to join in this, I'll welcome them right in. We're not so big that we can afford to throw away help. Now, make no mistake, we are winning. I mean, in ways that honestly, 15 years ago, I thought, this is a downhill slide, and I'm not sure we'll ever recover from it. I honestly never imagined where we would be today. We're winning huge. We've got one in courts, we're pushing back in the legislation, and as Alan was telling us, we're winning in public relations. We've got, the polls are going our way. But we could always snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. We've done it before. We got to get involved. We've got to volunteer. We've got to be a part of the community, each and every one of us, a part of the community. Let me tell you, the worst time to introduce yourself to your city council, to your school board, to your legislature, is when you need help. That's not the time to come up and say, hi, I'm one of your constituents. No. What really works is if they have known you for a couple of years, and now you come up and say, "Hey, John, I need some help with this." They go, "Sure, what do you need?" That's how it works. You know, you got to show up. Are you upset with what's going on with schools and no tolerance policies, this zero tolerance nonsense? Well, show up. Who's ever been to a school board meeting? Yeah, a few. All right, here's an idea for you. Get a regular group of you, school board meetings once a month. Just say, "We're going to go to the school board meetings every single month." And after about 3 months, you know what's going to happen? They're going to keep looking out there and seeing you and going, "Who are those people?" And they're going to come down from up here, and they're going to find out who you are. And after 4 or 5 months, you're going to be one of the regulars. You're going to be right there. And there are always regulars there. And after a year or so, they're going to listen to you because you've been there. You are now one of them. You have suffered through these insufferable school board meetings. And believe me, they are. You got to show up. We got to keep this winning streak going, people. You're the committed ones. You're the ones who make it happen. And it's a long road. We have to choose our targets wisely. We got to understand what a win looks like. And we have to know where we're headed. Now, you're doing a great job. We're doing a great job. Just recognize this. This fight will never, ever be over. Our opponents never give up. But you know what they don't realize? Neither do we. Thank you very much. Okay. Alan's calling an audible.
We're going at a little bit of order, and it's going to mess things up just for a hair, but it's kind of important. As a lot of you know, our luncheon speaker is supposed to be Congressman Steve Stockman, who is not able to make it because the continuing resolutions in Congress. Congress has been called in session this weekend, and as a result, he wasn't able to make it here. One thing the congressman didn't know about was the fact that he was going to get an award when he was here. I think I've got him on his cell phone. I'm sort of hoping for this. Congressman, are you there? Speaker isn't supposed to work. Well, okay, Congressman, it's hard in the room for everybody to hear you, unfortunately, and we want to thank you for your efforts and everything you've done for all of us in Congress, and we're sorry you're not able to be here with us today. We understand the important work you're doing in Congress and why you can't be here, and something you didn't know about was you were getting an award at the luncheon, so we're going to give you the award right now, and I'm going to read it to you. The Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms is proud to honor Congressman Steve Stockman, Gun Rights Legislator of the Year, in recognition of his tireless efforts on behalf of the Second Amendment rights of all Americans, 2013. Congressman, congratulations.
I'm sure you can hear all the rounds of applause.
Second Amendment, but more importantly, he was critical in my election We had 11 other people running, and without his support, without his and your support, your organization's support, we wouldn't be here to defend the Second Amendment and fight against the most abomination that this nation has ever known. He just on the 25th, as you know, I think Kerry was going forward with the UN gun ban, which will absolutely devastate this nation and undermine our Constitution and give our rights to a UN body in New York. But we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep standing up. And again, thank you for all your support. And I wish I could be there with you today. And I'm really honored and touched that you gave me this award. And I will continue to fight against oppression, especially by this administration. And hopefully one day we'll be able to peach the jerk. And
you want to say goodbye to him?
Congressman, again, thank you for all your hard work on our behalf. We all really greatly appreciate it, and somehow we will get this award to you personally. Thank you again, and we appreciate all your work. Have a great day.
On the table out there, they already have the new bumper sticker, Impeach the Jerk. Yeah, we should all just put an S on it, Impeach the Jerks. There we go. All right, the Florida Kerry guys, could you come up, please? Richard and Sean. I assume that you are in here, I hope. There we go, there we go. All right. We have a few presentations here, and these guys are first up. Microphone is yours, gentlemen.
And we want to do want to thank the SAF CCR KBA for giving us this opportunity, because we have to recognize a guy who, without, we would be nowhere as an organization. Eric, get up here. We said for a long time, when he finally won a case for us, we were going to find some way to reward him. Well, we have a veteran who had his firearms taken away by the police. They came. He had too much to drink on the night that he found out that a friend had died. They came and took his firearms. Arab got him back. So we decided to give him one.
This is a surprise. Thank you. I've got to tell y'all, this case has really affected me. I hope everybody starts learning what is happening to our veterans who need help. So many of them are scared to get the help they need because they're scared that what happened to this young man is going to happen to them. And we've got to do what we can do to protect these veterans and make sure that when they need help, they get it without losing their rights.
Mrs. Friday didn't want him to have the rifle. All I can say is, thank God it's Friday.
All right. I hope that everybody knows about the Jews for Preservation of Firearms Ownership, JPFO, a really great group. Charles Heller, please come up. Mark Serban.
There is a wonderful manufacturer among us. His name is Mark Serbu. Has anyone here seen the Serbu BFG 50? That's it right there. And he also has a super shorty that's an amazing. I think it has 6.5-inch barrel, 12-gauge. Nice. A little bit of AOW for you. And Mark's got an interesting story to tell you, and I asked, and Alan graciously granted us 5 minutes to do this, both to tell you the story and to we're going to award that gun. So here's Mark.
Hi. Proud and honored to be here. I'm kind of on a different end of the pointy spear than you guys are, being a manufacturer. I'm kind of a reluctant warrior in this fight. But anyway, what the story he's mentioning is what got me a lot of attention back in March. We were contacted by the NYPD SWAT team, and they were looking for a semi-automatic 50 caliber rifle. Well, of course, there are only two in manufacture in the country right now, Barrett and us. And apparently Barrett had already been contacted, and they said no. And it was easy for me to say no because the SAFE Act had just passed, and I sure as hell weren't going to let them have guns that their citizens couldn't own. So Thanks. You know, and it wasn't a business decision. It was just, you know, I've been a gun guy my whole life. I started guns, you know, I started loving them when I was 4 years old, and I'm lucky enough to have, you know, gotten an engineering degree along the way and quit my regular job and started making stuff in my garage, and now, you know, we're doing some really neat stuff. But anyway, it was a no-brainer. And the beauty of it, though, is unlike, you know, a lot of gun companies have come out there and said, we're not going to sell to various states or departments because of the policies. But in here, in this case, this actually has some teeth to it because the only two manufacturers of this type of gun have both said no. So now they're screwed. And that's a beautiful thing. So I'm happy about that. And anyway, so we were contacted. Oh. But what's really funny about the story, it goes on, because we went and put on our company Facebook the story about what had happened, and everybody loved it. We got so much response, and I said, well, geez, you know, this is really great since we went all soup Nazi on the NYPD. We need to get a T-shirt out there. So somebody came up, the T-shirt company came up with a Larry the Soup Nazi from the Seinfeld show saying, no Serbu for you. And that was all well and good until the actual Larry Thomas, the Soup Nazi actor, contacted me through Facebook and said, hey, you can't use my face. And I'm thinking, wow, this social media thing's a double-edged sword. Here's the actual guy getting a hold of me. Anyway, so we changed it a little bit. But in the meantime, this guy who hadn't had a career in 15 years, through his publicist, they went and told the New York Post. Well, the New York Post was going to run a story, so they contacted me to get my side of the story. And in my usual offhand, non-diplomatic way, I admitted toward the end, well, you know, we're going to abide by his wishes. We're not going to use his face, but we're just going to go shoot him. And that, funny to me, but, you know, there are a lot of people out there didn't think it was funny that a gun manufacturer would be talking about shooting somebody. But, you know, most people know it's in good fun. Anyway, the story just went worldwide, and our normal Facebook visits were 2,000 a week, and that week they went up to 160,000. And I mean, it was in the UK. It was, I mean, friends I hadn't seen forever were telling me about it. It was amazing. It got worldwide traction. But anyway, so I got a bunch of different TV interviews, got a radio interview, and they contacted me about getting this gun for the drawing. And Tom over there said, oh, you're the gentleman who's donating the gun to the JPFO. I said, well, no, they got a good price on it. They did Presbyterian me down on the price, but they did pay for it. Anyway, thank you very much.
He's introduced a new word into the lexicon. And if you would, Mark, give the... actually, Alan, if you're standing there, why don't you turn the crank for us, Alan? And then, and Mark, if you just reach in there and pick out a name, pick out one ticket and read it to me, and I'll read it out loud, and you can stop now. memo to audience, never give Alan a wheel to play with. Who do we have? You can't read it? George Bether. Is George Bether here at the Gulfport, Mississippi? Not that terribly far away. I was there 2 days ago.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you'll take it. No, this has got one of them SHOT Show firing pins in it. You wouldn't want to take this to him now. But anyway, that's who won the BFG. And yes, it stands for exactly what you think it does. Thank you for allowing us this time to do this. Oh, JPFO, when we found out that NYPD, that Mark wouldn't sell a rifle to him, we advertised it, we sold tickets for this as own the rifle that NYPD got turned down for on the background check. And that's what that rifle is. JPFO is the least politically correct organization. We will actually say things like, we're trying to change the attitude of bagel-brained Jews who are anti-gun. And we can say it because I'm quoting our Orthodox rabbi. So,
all right, Rosemary, if you're here, please Head on up. I don't know if Janelle is going to come up with you, but this is the folks from the American Legacy Firearms Company. So are they in the room or are they out there? There we go. Good deal. I hope that you've all been able to go out and take a look at the work of this. I mean, holy cow. The only problem they have with the display out there, well, they were, I guess it's probably experience, that you see they have it behind glass, and then occasionally they use the Windex to get all the drool off the glass. You know, man, those things are gorgeous. So they've just done a great job and a big supporter. So they're going to be making a presentation here. If you have not had a chance to go look at it, it's kind of been a crowd around there, go take a look because they're doing a lot of different projects. They've got obviously pistols and rifles there. So it's American Legacy Firearms, and obviously that's the website too, AmericanLegacyFirearms.com. All right. Rosemary Solano from American Legacy Firearms.
Well, I just want to thank you all for being here, and we're really proud of the work we're doing to help the Second Amendment Foundation raise money in this tremendous fight that we're involved in. And Alan, I wanted to present you with something. This is a current check that represents some more of the money that we wanted to give you towards this tremendous fight that we're in. Thank you.
Rosemary, thank you very, very much. This is a check for $20,000. But it brings the total for this year up to approximately around $100,000 that they've donated to us.
It's our pleasure to do that. Thank you.
And you want me to see the gun?
Yes, and we want to show the...
Hold on a second.
We have that special limited edition rifle for the 40th anniversary of the Second Amendment Foundation out front, and we wanted Alan to hold it up and show it to you.
This is it, I guess.
Hold it up with your one hand, like Charlton Heston.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm now Charlton Heston. The money that American Legacy Firearms has donated to us are off the profits from the handgun that they made that was a Second Amendment Foundation gun that's being sold currently right now. These firearms they make for us, there's 100 per state, they're serial numbered, and that they're limited edition ones. This is the one that they're making for us for our 40th anniversary, which is next year, and we really greatly appreciate it. Rosemary, thank you.
You're very welcome, Alan. Thank you.
It is, it's 24 karat gold plated.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Joseph. Happy to do it.
Thank you so much, Rosemary. I have to make an addition. We had an addition to the head table came up. You know that we've had a year of ammo shortage, right? Well, I just want to introduce somebody who has given us more data and more intellectual ammunition over the years than anybody I know, John Lott on the end over here. All right, now we are going to move into the awards section, and so I'm going to sit down. Alan?
This is actually my favorite part of the whole gun rights policy conference because, again, you guys out there do an awful lot of work. 99% of you are all volunteers in the cause. None of you ever really get recognized for what you do. But if you didn't do it, none of us would have any freedom. And so this is the part where we get to recognize other people's work. And to me, it's the most important part of what the gun rights policy is all about, because it's the networking and the working together and the spreading the ideas and recognizing those people who really sacrifice that make it all worthwhile for everything I do. So I'd like to start off by giving out some various awards. The first one, and these are joint awards. Some come from the Citizens Committee, some come from the Second Amendment Foundation. This one is from the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. It's the 2013 Grassroots Organization of the Year. And we'd be very hard-pressed to not give it to Illinois Carry, who... So, Belinda, can I get you to come up here? Oh, and Mike, both of you, come on up. When Belinda was speaking on her panel and sort of choked up at the end, she actually made me have tears in the back of the room. And this is such a cumulative effort of so many people to have done what was accomplished in Illinois that it's hard to actually just give it to one person or one group. But as a grassroots group, these people on the internet have done an unbelievable job of organizing people. And, you know, we all owe them a debt of gratitude, because quite honestly, in this last year, Illinois is our bright spot.
Who here is from Illinois? Who's from Illinois? That's a long way to drive. Cool.
It's just such an honor to be part of the Second Amendment Foundation's efforts. They're a nationwide, worldwide effort to protect our Second Amendment rights, and to work with them is truly an honor, and also with our Illinois State Rifle Association, our state group, and their cooperation, working together as a team. We're going to win this thing. We're going to win.
You know, our slogan has become in the United States, winning farmers' freedom one lawsuit at a time. Internationally, it's winning farmers' freedom one nation at a time. Our next award, thank you, is also a Citizens Committee Award. It's to the Grassroots Activist of the Year. And this one goes to somebody who's on their own, has done an awful lot on the internet, setting up a website and so-called grassroots organization that organized rallies and events all across the United States that got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people involved in the gun rights movement, many people for the very, very first time. I'd like to give this to Eric Reed for Gun Rights Across America. Eric, are you in the room? This usually happens at least to one person every year that's not in the room for lunch that doesn't realize they're getting an award, because we keep these pretty secret and close to the vest. So you all know he's got it, and we'll figure out how to get it to him and find him somewhere around the building. And again, this is an important award for us. This is one here. It goes to the Scholar of the Year. And again, without the intellectual ammunition to fight our battle, we'd have a very hard time winning our wars. And this one goes to somebody who unfortunately couldn't be here today, but wishes he were here. It's from the Heritage Foundation, Theodore Bromond, PhD, who's done a significant amount of research and work, particularly on the international stuff with the ATT Treaty and other stuff, that got really good at solid information and research out there. And so we will present this to him at another time, knowing he can't be here personally today. This one is going to the Journalist of the Year, and the person is on our agenda to speak, but unfortunately is plane delayed right now, so couldn't be here at the luncheon. So you'll know about it before she does, and when she speaks later this afternoon, we'll actually hand it to her. But she's actually getting it for the second year in a row, Emily Miller from the Washington Times. She She got it last year for her columns and reporting in the Washington Times. This year she's getting it for her new best-selling book, Emily Gets Your Gun and Obama Wants to Take Yours Away. This one is always my problem child because it goes to our affiliate of the year for the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. And the problem is the same group keeps winning it, and there's nothing I can do about it because until somebody else steps up and really earns it away from them, they're going to just have a wall lined with plaques. And, of course, this one goes to the Illinois State Rifle Association because, again, Illinois is our bright spot. You know, in all honesty, if you would have asked me in my lifetime if I ever would have seen Illinois become a pro-gun state from the anti-gun column, I never would have believed it. And these two gentlemen coming up right now from ISRA are two of the key reasons why.
Well, we really appreciate this award, and we do have a wall lined with flags, actually. And I want to say thank you to Valinda and Mike Rowe and all the Illinois Carry people, because it takes working together to win.
Thank you very much to Alan, Julianne, and Joe. We appreciate the award. Once again, recognition. Thanks again to Valinda and Mike Rowe. They've done a yeoman's job of tracking the legislature live on the internet every day that they're in session. Great help doing the grassroots meetings, the town hall meetings in the Chicago area. We couldn't have done it without you guys, for sure. And we're not a pro-gun state yet, but we're going to keep plodding along and working at it. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, if you live in New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, probably Maryland now, you guys are a pro-gun state. Richard? Grab him. Don't run away.
Don't run away.
Illinois is the recipient of a lot of awards this year, and obviously we all know why, and rightly so deserved. This one's going to Richard Pearson, the executive director of ISRA, for being the Gun Rights Defender of the Year. The amount of work that Richard has done above the scenes, below the scenes, above the radar, all over the place, tireless efforts, the amount of work he put in to make things happen in Illinois, and giving credit to everybody else for all the work that he's done, deserves the Gun Rights Defender of the Year.
I want to thank you, and I want to thank Alan, but it takes a lot of members working together. And right now, Illinois has over 30,000 members in their state association with 12 million people. So we're doing a good job, but you have to get organized, and you have to get people to work, and when you do that, things happen. Thanks.
This past year, they organized a rally in their state capital, the iGold rally, which I think the Minnesota people talked about earlier that inspired them. They turned out 8,400 people at the rally at the state capital. And each year we give out an award, we call it the Bill of Rights Award. And somebody who's done some great work on behalf of the right to keep and bear arms, that not necessarily as a grassroots activist, but somebody who's influenced the issue, the cause, and reached lots of people defending the Bill of Rights, particularly the Second Amendment. I'd like to give this one to John Fund. John? See, it's always a surprise. They never know.
You saved me from my bathroom break. I wasn't leaving because I wasn't interested. Nature was calling.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And all I can say is, I'm going to be back next year. This is the most fun I've had in a long time.
Thank you.
We need a photo.
Okay.
Excuse me now.
It must have been an important potty break because, quite frankly, it's the least words I've ever heard from a journalist. As I mentioned earlier, a few minutes ago, the Second Amendment Foundation's international slogan has been, you know, spreading firearms freedom one nation at a time. And we wouldn't be able to do that if it weren't for the fact that we were involved in a couple other international organizations, the World Forum for the Future of Sport Shooting Activities, and one we helped found, the International Association for the Protection of Civilian Arms Rights, IAPCAR, where we've got, at this point, I don't know, upwards of several dozen affiliates around the globe that do some tremendous work all across the globe for gun rights. And it's been a very important thing to help combat stuff at the United Nations, the European Union, and other places. And so this Global Leadership Award for 2013 goes to Silvia Gentile from Italy. Silvia?
Thank you so much. I want to call my husband. He's the president of our association. Come. It's better to say. He's saying something.
Okay. You're fine. English obviously isn't Sylvia's first language, so she's a little nervous when she has to speak in English, but she does a great job. Simone, her husband, worked closely with her and probably, I think, helped Sylvia get Sylvia into this whole battle to start with, right?
Yeah, right.
So take a picture of the three of us.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you, Adam. Thank you.
This is an award from the Citizens Committee as well that I'm going to let Julianne present because presenting this award is probably going to make her cry. Julianne, you do this one.
This award is a Lifetime Achievement Award, and this is awarded to the third Allen in my life. So, Allen Youngman, an individual who has, through countless distinguished deeds, sometimes deals, demonstrated an extraordinary dedication to the preservation of the Second Amendment rights and whose actions have helped preserve the freedoms protected by the United States Constitution.
Very briefly, this is unexpected and very much appreciated. It means a lot. Part of spending all the time we spend in New York, I realized last year I spent more time during the summer with Julianne and Allen with my wife. My wife thought that was a pretty good deal. She thinks Julianne's wonderful for getting me out of the way. Part of what you have to do when you go to New York with Julianne is you have to be prepared to embark on the Bataan Death March. You know, 50, 75 blocks walking. She says, we don't need a cab. It's not raining that hard. I mean, it'll keep you in shape. Now, if anybody wants to volunteer for my job, get into training now. Very quickly, I ask, if I could, hey, just a minute, how many of you were in Orlando last year? Okay. You may remember one of the awards we gave, the DSAC, my organization gave, in conjunction with Second Amendment Foundation, was a Colt pistol to Don Maley. Ambassador retired Don Maley was the senior negotiator for the U.S. on the Arms Trade Treaty. At that time, Don was battling pancreatic cancer. We didn't think we were going to see him again. Don has beat pancreatic cancer. He's one tough old guy. But I got to tell you the sequel to the story. You remember we gave him a 1911 pistol that was personally selected by General Bill Keyes, president of Colt. And I thought he'd put it on the shelf, something like that. No, he goes and shoots every week now. He's one of us. I mean, it was darkly hinted around the General Assembly that he would have something to do with the NRA. He's a life member. Anyway, in September, we gave him the gun. In March, of course, we're back in New York for the ATT negotiations conference. And during a break, Don and I are standing on the field. I said, how's it going? He says, I'm having this problem. I never had it before. I would always qualify expert, but now I'm shooting low and left. So I, like most instructors, I went through all the, okay, tell me about your grip. Tell me about, your trigger finger place and things like that. And I said, and we're doing this. I said, Don, remember the difference between a 1911 and an A1 is that cutout in the frame behind the trigger guard to keep your trigger finger off of the side of the gun. And you may never had to contend with that before. So anyway, and we're standing there on the floor of the UN doing this stuff. And and we looked up, and there were about 300 people looking at us. And Don says, okay, sorry. Sorry. Needless to say, there are places in this world having award ceremonies Don will not be invited to. So, thank you very much.
You take over from that. Okay. George Harder of the Foundation President will give out the rest of the awards. Thank you.
Thank you all. This series of awards, the Defender of Liberty Awards from the Second Amendment Foundation, which go to a number of individuals, some of whom you may have previously heard of, some maybe not, but all have contributed greatly to our effort. And the award reads, Defender of Liberty, in recognition and appreciation of your patriotic values, important work, and tireless efforts on behalf of the Second Amendment rights of all Americans. Now, the first one on my list is someone I'm personally known for a lot of years, an old friend from the Houston area, whom I consider a comrade in arms to all of us in the continuing battle to preserve the right to keep and bear arms. He was the leader in the fight in the mid-1970s that transformed the NRA from a hobby shooters organization into the powerful political force it has become. And his name is Francis G. Winters. And he's an old friend. He won't be able to get up here, I don't think. But I'd like to ask his daughter, Ann, to come up. I'm going to go down there. Let's do it.
Thank you very much. He's mentioned what happened a number of years ago, and I will say that a lot of the success of that motion was due to this organization and not just me and a few guys. But things that are happening today have raised a question in my mind. Is history about to repeat itself? And you may recall that in the colonial days, the colonists were well armed to face the dangers of the wilderness, and also they fought alongside the English in the French and Indian Wars, where George Washington made his fame. And when the fighting was over, the British began to tell the American colonists what they could buy and who to buy it from, what they could make and who to make it, sell it to. Well, this caused a lot of objections. Amongst other things was the Boston Tea Party. Well, the British got tired of hearing the Americans make it such a ruckus, so they marched on Lexington and Concord to disarm them, and that precipitated the revolution. And it was all over, and the Constitution was being signed. The Second Amendment was put in there. And that raises the question, is the same thing happening today, that people want to disarm us so they can take over our country and run it like they want to? I ask you to question yourself about that and see what you think about what's going on right now. I do appreciate this award, and I will say that all that success back in those years, a lot of it was due to this organization and the people that I've met back then and who are running it right now. So I want to thank them for all the good work that they have done and they will be continuing to do. Thank you.
At the risk of running out of time, I'd like to begin moving along because I have several awards here, and I hope everyone is in the room. The next Defender of Liberty Award is for David Hardy of Arizona, another old friend who has been, I see him headed this way, who has been an author, a researcher, an important lawyer, an attorney in litigation, a videographer, and always and helped to expose a lot of the government's misreasons in the Waco incident. David?
I was just reflecting that I've been working on this issue. Next year will be 40 years. It started in when I was still a law student. It's been a long 40 years.
I don't know if he would want it revealed, but the next winner of the Defender of Liberty Award, I think he's a Democrat like I am. Don Moran, president of the ISRA, who has done a lot of work and represents a cross-section of America that I think is, and of our movement, that is often misunderstood. I guess this is a gray-haired event. Larry Pratt, the executive director of the Gun Owners of America, is the next recipient of our award. Is he in the hall, Larry? We'll see he gets it later. The next one is for Sheriff John Cook of Weld County, Colorado. The lead plaintiff in the lawsuit of Colorado sheriffs against the governor's bill.
Well, thank you. I wasn't expecting this, but I'd like to recognize our attorney, David Kopel.
Thank you.
And I'll accept this in honor of the other 54 sheriffs that have joined the lawsuit against the state and the governor. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I keep taking it on faith that his order of award and my reading of the awards are the same ones, but they are. The next one is for Defender of Liberty Award. Goes to Andrew Sipien, the content manager for Cheaper Than Dirt, one of the sponsors of the foundation, sponsor of the program, and great contributors to the park.
I'll accept this on behalf of our customers who made this possible and our support of not only the Second Amendment Foundation, but many other organizations. Without them, we wouldn't be here, and we appreciate it very much. Thank you.
The next award is for Dr. Timothy Wheeler, who has been fighting this fight for many years. I see him coming in this direction. Dr. Wheeler is a family physician who founded, with support from other foundations originally, Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership to counter the AMA and other things, and is currently head of Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership under the Second Amendment Foundation.
Thank you all so much. It's been great to come to these conferences every year for quite a few years now. Alan and Julie and Joe and their crew are to be commended for making our effort possible. So thank you very much.
The recipient of the next award isn't in attendance at the moment. She was here earlier today, but it's Alice Tripp, another person I've known for so many years. We did have a chance to get together and walk down some of our history together, but accepting the award for her today is her boss, the president of the Texas State Rifle Association, David Strout. He's taller than Alice.
Some of you might think I'm dressed a little funny, but that's what you expect when you come to Texas, is cowboy hats and guns, isn't it? By the way, how many Texans do we have here that are not TSRA members?
I'm willing to admit it.
And what was your name? Okay. That we have a place right out there. You can sign up. Thank you very much, Alice. We'll appreciate this. She has worked very hard. She's really kicked a little down in Austin, and so it's great. And I'm sorry she missed this. So thank you very much.
And the next one and last one in my series of Defender of Liberty Awards, since he puts his water bottle down, Alan Corwin can come forward, and we will have an opportunity to recognize the continuing intellectual and other contributions he makes to the gun rights movement. Alan?
Thank you, Joe.
Wait. Let's get a picture first, then you can grab the mic.
Thanks.
But short.
Thanks, everybody. Completely unexpected. You'll hear more from me later.
As the fewest words I've ever heard from Alan Corwin. That concludes the awards presentations. I'll give the mic back to our MC, Tom Gresham.
Thank you, Joe. How about a round of applause for all of our award winners? All right, this is it. You can go to the bathroom, but make it quick. 10 minutes, not 15, 10, because you don't want to miss coming up, taking gun rights cases through the courts. David Hardy, Don Kilmer, David Jensen, David Smutter, Dave Sigali, and Miko Tempeski. You don't want to miss this one. We'll see you in 10 minutes right here.
Also, you can get John Fun's book, Emily Miller's book, John Lott's book, all.